My name is David Gibbs with the Christian Law Association, and it's a privilege and an honor for me get to be with you this Sunday morning. I'm so very sorry that we have to do this by remote, but with the pandemic that's sweeping America right now, we certainly want to honor keeping our people and other folks safe. But what a joy that by electronics, I can have this brief moment with you. I want to talk to you today for a few minutes about the most powerful thing in the universe. Unquestionably, nothing is as powerful as what we're going to discuss. Well, you say, Brother Gibbs, what do you think the most powerful thing is? Without any question, the most powerful thing in the universe for God's people is prayer. Do you understand by prayer the all-powerful God? The God who says, nothing is impossible with me. It's only impossible with man. It's never impossible with God. And God says, ask and ye shall receive. That's repeated 6 times in Scripture. Jesus said, ask in faith, believing, and ye shall receive. Prayer moves the arm of God. And the reason I want to preach on prayer is because this is an hour that we need for God to answer some prayers. The reason I picked this subject up in time in my life, I have to confess to you, I became dissatisfied with my own prayer life. It wasn't that I wasn't praying. In fact, I think in comparison to a lot of people, I was praying pretty good. But here's what was happening. I would pray, and when nothing happened, it didn't surprise me at all. I would say, well, maybe I didn't do it right. I don't know. Maybe I didn't somehow come through with it correctly. And I became satisfied with unanswered prayer. I want you to look at what the Scripture has to say. In the book of James, we're going to go to James chapter 5. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to get them and be ready to mark them. Because there's 4 points that God says about prayer if we want God to answer our prayer. I know if I could talk to you one-on-one, you'd say, boy, I want God for my family, for me, for our nation. I want God to answer my prayers. Well, listen to what the Scripture has to say in James chapter 5, verse 17. It says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. That means this is God talking. He was like you. He was like me. His uncertainty, his fears, his uncertainties in life are exactly like ours. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. But look at verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. 4 keys to answered prayer. This morning I'd ask you, please jot these down. You're going to need these. Here's number one. If you want God to answer your prayer, if you want power in prayer, here's the first key. You have to pray. You say, Brother Gibbs, that's too simple. No, no, no. That's essential. You have to ask. The Bible says, ask and ye shall receive. Now, the word ask used there in Scripture was the word for asking with specificity. It was the word for asking in detail. What exactly are you asking God to do? What would it take for you to pray? What do you want specifically for God to do for your family? What specifically do you want God to do for this wonderful church and your pastor? What do you want God specifically to do in our nation? What are you asking for? I have a prayer list for my wife. I pray it every day. It has 62 things on it that I ask God to do for her. I've handed this prayer list out many hundreds of times, shared it with folks. There's nothing on that list particular to my wife and I. If you were to read that list, you'd say, I want that, I want that, I want that. You'd say, I want that 62 times. There's only one problem, you're not asking. And here's what the Bible says in the book of James. You have not because you ask not. God says, you want answers to prayer? The key is you have to be willing to ask. Now, I've never met anybody with any kind of an admirable prayer life that didn't have a great prayer list. And if you'd show me what your prayer list is, I could tell you volumes about what your prayer life is or what it's not. What are you asking for? Most people, when I ask to see their prayer list, they want to give me the church's Wednesday night bulletin because there's often a prayer list in it. And remember, that's a wonderful prayer list, but that's the church's prayer list. That's not your prayer list. What's on your list for your kids, your grandchildren? I know you love your family more than life. Do you love them enough to specifically ask for them? My granddaughter came in, hopped on my lap one day, and she said, Papa, that's what they call me. She said, Papa, I know you have a prayer list just for me, don't you? I said, I do. She said, well, would you put this on it? Do your kids know that you love them enough to pray for them? This will make all the difference in the world. The first key to answered prayer is you have to ask. A great man of yesteryear, Lester Roloff, he's with the Lord now, a great evangelist and pastor. One day we were doing a trial defending him, and I went into his motel room, and papers were everywhere. They were all over his bed, all over the table, the dresser. Some were on the floor. And I said, Brother Roloff, what are all these papers for? Are they for the trial? He said, no. He said, these papers are not for the trial. I said, well, what are they? He said, this is my prayer list. I said, this is your prayer list? He said, David, I'm asking God for a lot. And then he turned to me and he said, how did you get comfortable asking God for so little? What a great question. I know when I get to heaven, I fear the Lord's going to scold me. He's going to say, didn't you understand I'm all powerful? Why didn't you ask? The first key to answered prayer is you must ask. Now, here's the problem with asking. Without a list, I think you kind of pray like I do. Without a list, I can pray for 5, maybe 10 minutes, 15 max, but I'm praying these sweeping general prayers. You know, God be with my family and bless my wife and please guard our church and be with our pastor and all the missionaries and, oh, God, help us to be. But what are you specifically asking for? You want to see a great breakthrough in prayer? It says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. That's the first key. You have to ask. I will promise you right now, the devil will do everything in his power to keep you distracted. He'll watch you watching all the news outlets, watching everything and anything on your cell phone, anything but praying, because pray unleashes the arm of the Almighty. The first thing you want to do if you want power in prayer is get specific with God and ask. Here's the second key. Number one, you got to ask. Number two, it's right there in the verse. You got to do it earnestly. He was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. When's the last time you got earnest, fervent with God? Look at the verse just ahead of this, the last part of verse 16. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When's the last time you really got into praying? Fervent, earnest. Not just the words that come across so easy that we sort of have memorized in our prayer catalog. When is the last time you bared your heart and got earnest with God? You say, well, I'm just not a real outspoken kind of person. Now, I find it really helpful sometimes to pray out loud just to hear my own voice. But I will promise you this, you cannot say a word and be fervent. Remember Hannah when she went into the temple to pray for a child? The Bible says Hannah, that lady, prayed so fervently that they thought she was inebriated. They thought she was drunk. And they rebuked her for coming in inebriated. And she said, no, I'm not drunk. I'm fervent in prayer. Has your family ever seen you fervent in prayer? Have you ever seen yourself fervent in prayer? Well, Brother Gibbs, I'm intense. It just doesn't show. Here's something I found. You can't hide fervency. You can't hide earnest. Boy, when something's earnest, it comes across. And I want to tell you right now, being fervent is a key. I was traveling with a pastor. We were going from Ohio to Texas, traveling through the night for a trial. And we were about, oh, maybe 2-3 in the morning, and that pastor turned to me and he said, David, I have an idea what to do for the next few hours. I said, sure, what? He said, you can take the next 2 hours and pray fervently out loud, and then I'll take the 2 hours after that. I said, what now? He said, you take the next 2 hours and pray fervently out loud, and then I'll take the next 2 hours after that. No one had ever asked me for anything like that. I said, preacher, 2 hours? My goodness, that's a long time. He said, well, David, have you ever prayed fervently for 2 hours ever? And I said, no. Now, here I was trying lawsuits all over America, defending God's people. And I could not tell him I've prayed fervently for 2 hours. He said, have you ever prayed fervently for an hour? I said, no. Think of all the things you've done fervently. Watched a ball game where your team was in the hunt. Boy, you were into it. 2 hours went by like a flash. But 2 hours in the throne room of God. And remember, when you pray, that's where you're standing. You're standing in the throne room of the Almighty, and you're there by invitation. I said, no. He said, well, David, why don't I go first? I said, that's a good idea. You go first. He started praying. I'm driving. He's in the passenger seat. We're going down Interstate 55. I'll never forget. About 10% of the time in the middle of the night, I'm looking at the wheel. 90% of the time, I'm looking at him. That man prayed like he was standing in front of God and having a conversation with the Almighty. When you pray, that's where you are. But you got to pray, and you got to do it earnestly. Now, you can fool me. Some of you might even fool your pastor. Nobody fools God. God knows if our heart is in those prayers. Half-hearted? No prayer. God says, I want you to be earnest, to be fervent. Look at the third key. Number one, you got to ask. Number two, you got to be fervent and earnest. And then comes number three, you got to be clean. Look at the verse 16 just ahead. We read part of it. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When's the last time you got clean? Please listen carefully here. Not when was the last time you got cleaner. When was the last time you got clean? When before God, you got clean. The Bible says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, and it's written to Christians, you and me, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I cannot tell you the number of times in church that I've responded to an altar call. And by the way, whenever God speaks to your heart, respond. But I walked forward not to get clean, just cleaner. I just wanted to get cleaned up a little bit. When is the last time you bowed and said, God, I want to be clean? Whoa. D.L. Moody, we're told, used to close most of his meetings by saying, do not walk out those doors. Don't leave this meeting unless you're clean. Because if you're not clean with God, you're going nowhere. Boy, what a true statement. Look at what the scripture says. Flip over in your Bible just a page or two to 1 Peter chapter 3. And listen to what he says in verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. That's the clean person, the person who's doing right. And his ears are open unto their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That wasn't written to the lost, to the heathen. That was written to the believer. God says, you've got a tourniquet on your prayer line if you're not willing to get righteous, to get clean. Wow. I was with Lester Roloff once, and he and I were going to pray together again. And he said, David, I want you to go in that corner and don't come out until the best of your ability you're clean. He said, because if we're going to have God move, we got to have God see us be clean. I bowed and I thought, man, I don't know how to do this. But I said, God, I want to be clean. Here's my question. Do you really want to be clean? Or do you want to hang on to those secret sins? The stuff in your mind, the stuff in your life that you're thrilled nobody knows about, just you and God. Do you really want to be clean? God says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. We all have things we need to take to the altar and confess. We all have things we need to ask God. God, help us to be clean by your grace, by your power. I promise you, he said, I promise if you confess, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. When's the last time God cleansed you and you got clean? The key to answered prayer, number one, you absolutely have to ask. You got to pray specifically. Number two, you got to do it fervently, earnest. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. Number three, you got to get clean. That's something only you and God can do. Oh, I promise you, your pastor loves you. If he could do it for you, he would. But no one can do it for me but me. No one can do it for my precious wife but her. No one can do it for you, my friend, but you. This is one-on-one, you and God. You got to get clean. Write the fourth key down to answered prayer. It's right here in the story. You got to persist. Now let's read the story again in James. Look at what it says that he did. James chapter 5. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. God unsynced the weather of the universe for that man's prayer. And he prayed again, verse 18, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. But if you go back to 1 Kings and read the story, this is Elijah at Mount Carmel, and you all know the story. He's up there against the prophet of Baal, and they're going to serve the God that answers by fire. And the prophets of Baal could bring no fire down, and Elijah prayed, and the fire came down. And then Elijah said, okay, now we're getting right. Now I'm going to bring the rain back. But when you read the story in 1 Kings, read carefully. It says he went and prayed, God, bring the rain. And he sent his servant outside and said, go see if there's any rain. And the servant went out and came back and said, there's no rain. Now, wait a minute. It only took one prayer to shut the rain off, only took one prayer to bring the fire down. And now you prayed and nothing happened. Elijah, I kind of thought you were the one prayer wonder. But he didn't stop. He prayed a second time. And with the second time, what he did was he went and sent the servant out again, and the servant came back and said, no rain. Then he prayed a third time, and the servant went out and came back and said, no rain. What if Elijah had quit? You got to understand something. God says, I want you to believe I'm going to answer your prayer. Ask in faith, believing. Oh, it may take one time, two times, it may take a life. God said, I'm going to answer it. Do you have that faith? He prayed a fourth time. Servant came back, no rain. A fifth time, servant came back, no rain. A sixth time, servant came back, no rain. But then he prayed a seventh time. And when the servant went out, he came back and he said, Elijah, there's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, you better get out of here. It's going to rain like nothing you've ever seen. He persisted in prayer. What have you persisted in prayer for? What have you given up on? What did you pray once, twice, but then you kind of let it go? God says, you understand, I want you to persist. I've promised. Most people have more faith in Amazon that they're going to deliver something than they do in God delivering something. You put an order in with Amazon or some reputable company, And if it's not there the next day, you say, well, it's coming, it's coming. They've said it'll be here. I take them at their word because you believe in him. Do you believe in God? No company on earth is anything compared to God. God said, I've promised, but you got to take me at my word and persist. Wow. I was in a church, Lebanon, Pennsylvania, I'll never forget. Sunday night, a man walked forward to get saved. What a rough looking fella. What a rough looking fella. I mean, he had tattoos and body piercings, and boy, he'd obviously lived a very, very rough life. His clothes were a shambles. But when he came forward in that church got excited. People started shouting and praying. And I turned to the pastor and I said, boy, the church is really excited. This is a bad guy. He said, oh, the worst we've ever dealt with. He said, David, we've tried to reach him for years, but when we'd go out to where he'd live, he'd shoot at us. He said, in fact, we got soul winners that got bullet holes in their cars, and one of our deacons, he hit a gas tank and blew part of his car up. He said, David, this is the roughest one we've ever dealt with. I said, wow, no wonder you're excited. He said, Dave, that's not it. He said, you know why we're excited? He said, you see that lady sitting right over there, four rows back, who's sobbing? I said, yeah. He said, that lady is his mother. And Brother Gibbs, she has not missed one service being at the altar praying for her boy for 20 years. And I went to her and said, listen, you don't need to keep coming forward. And she said, no, sir. I'm going to keep fervently praying. I'm going to keep persisting. I pray three times at home. When the church altar's open, I pray at that altar. And she put us to shame. Brother Gibbs, he didn't walk that altar because of you or me. He walked that altar because of God answering that lady's prayer. What have you given up on? What did you get started but you didn't keep going? Or what did you never start? You want power in prayer. Number one, you got to ask specifically. Number two, by the grace of God, you got to be fervent, earnest. I find when I get praying, all kinds of things rush into my mind, things I got to do that day, things I forgot to do, and all of a sudden I'm having to stop and say, wait a minute. I got to get fervent in prayer. God knows where my mind is, and I want him to know my mind is on him. I'm talking face to face to the all-powerful creator of the universe who loves me so much he sent his only son to die in my place. I got to ask, and I got to get fervent. The third thing I got to do is get clean. By the way, you don't get clean once. 1 John 1:9 wasn't something we do, and there, that takes care of it. No. Life has a way of bringing things in, our imaginations, our fantasies, our thoughts. And God says, if you confess it, I'll forgive it and cleanse you from it. Every bit of it. Boy, make sure you get clean. Your kids need it. Your grandkids need it. Our nation needs it. Your church needs it. You need it. And then lastly, persist. Persist. I am so embarrassed at the things I started praying for and gave up on. It's not just a few, it's many. Some of it I just forgot because it never got on my list. Some of it just through negligence on my part. What a sad story. Don't let that happen to you, and by God's grace, I don't ever want it to happen to me again. Be careful when someone says, well, would you pray about this? And you say, yeah, I'll pray about that. Be sure you do pray about that. Remember, when you tell somebody, I'll pray about that, you made an appointment with God. God heard that. And when you don't show up for that appointment, that doesn't speak well. Be sure that you're persisting and you're faithful. Prayer is the most powerful thing in the universe. The church is the only hope America has, that and the gospel. People come up to me and say, Brother Gibbs, what can I do for America? I want to tell you, number one, go to your pastor and ask him for something to do. You say, but Brother Gibbs, if I go to my pastor and ask him for something to do, he'll give me something to do. That's exactly why you got to go to your pastor and ask. Everybody right now needs to have a role in their local church. It's the hope of America. The hope's not in Washington. The hope's not in any man. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Get active in your local church and then pray. What's on your prayer list? If you don't have a good prayer list, I beg you, start one today. You'll never stop adding to it. The other day I was traveling in my car and I turned on the radio and was listening to a man preach. I didn't hear the beginning or the end because it faded out. But he prayed on something and I thought, boy, how do I not have that on my prayer list? And boy, the minute I got to where I could, I put it on my list. You'll never stop adding to that list. It will change everything. My mom and dad, faithful Christians at the end of their life, couldn't get around hardly at all. Couldn't move much, but boy, could they pray. And twice a day, they went through their prayer list. Took 2 to 3 hours. Most of it had been in picture books and things. They had very methodically gotten photographs of pictures of churches, and they would pray specifically for that pastor, that church, praying for those in authority over us. Prayer takes some time, and it takes a decision. But God has promised to answer prayers. Remember the key. Number one, you got to ask specifically. Number two, by the grace of God, you got to get earnest, fervent, the effectual fervent prayer. Number three, you got to get clean, of a righteous man. Be sure when you bow that you're fervent in spirit and that by God's grace you're clean. And then don't give up. Persist. I've had prayers answered within seconds. I've had some prayers take hours. I've had some take weeks, some takes months. And I have some that now have taken years and they were finally answered. And I have some that have taken longer than years and they're still not answered. But my God has promised and I am going to persist. Prayer is the most powerful thing in the universe. Don't go through life, my friend, unarmed. Prayer changes everything. I want to thank you for the grace of allowing me to come and be with you this morning. Now, pray. Stand fast. This is the greatest hour to be a Christian that our nation has ever seen. And by prayer, we can change everything. God bless you, folks. Bye-bye.